Good morning, Moline County Board of Supervisors. May 21st, 2019, are there any changes to the tentative agenda? Any department heads and elected officials? Jerry Johnson, Moline County Auditor.
Good morning, we're busy and a little updating is going on in the office, so.
I see that.
If anybody calls over here, please bear with us as we try to hear you on the other end of the phone when they're hammering or drilling or whatever, so.
You see, moved all the candy into the supervisor's room.
Yes.
Is that to keep it safe or to get rid of it?
It'll be safe. Nobody else will get it.
Thanks, Terry. Lisa Hazel, Moline County Recorder.
Good morning, I have nothing new to add today.
Jared, land news.
Lot of subdivision activity, I've got one here on the agenda today, and there's probably four or five that are heading towards being ready to have the application submitted. They're all minor subs, but we anticipate they could all come forward rather shortly here, so keeping busy with that. Nothing else coming up worthy.
Ryan Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Contractor came in and painted the rest of the lines of Mediapolis Road, so most of that's wrapped up. They did some rumble strips that need to be done, and so we're down to, oh, there's a little bit more work to do, but I'm really almost done, and a lot of just paperwork left and such, so that project's come along. Otherwise, we, with all the rain we've had, the guys are just trying to fit a little blading in between rain. That hasn't been very, very easy, so things aren't a whole lot better than they have been for a little while. And culvert crew's trying to do what they can do, working through some rain and trying to get a few roads taken care of before they wash completely out. So, yeah, it's, and I, we just got an email that they closed the disaster window, but we submitted, all departments have, I think, that were impacted, have submitted some damage claims. We haven't heard officially that we're part of the FEMA disaster, that we've been funded or however you wanna put it, but they closed the window. I believe they decided May 16th was the close of that, so just got that email this morning. But, so, I think everything we're doing right now is geared towards something that was not on our radar about 3 weeks ago, so.
Is the Corps of Engineers making any progress with the bridge?
I just talked to my consultant yesterday, and they sent, they requested our environmental clearances. Well, because of being a locally funded project, the Corps is responsible for going through that process, not the DOT. And so we sent our, we have all our reports done, everything, we sent all that to them about a week and a half ago and haven't heard anything back, so. So, has there been progress? I guess probably, but is it measurable right at the moment? No.
Bless your hearts.
So, but yeah, it'll have been late this week, early next, it'll have been a couple weeks worth of silence, so I'll probably call St. Louis and see what's going on, so.
Good thing you got a good start on it.
Well, and that's the other thing I'm gonna mention, I mean, I hate to start this conversation, but we're sitting at the end of May. I don't have permits. I have contacted the three owners, sent out a letter about the right-of-way we need to purchase. None of them contacted me back, so I've gotta follow up with that still. However, there is still a water line sitting under that creek that needs to be stabilized before we can do work this winter. And there's no way to do that work until the river's down to basically low stage. The Flint's gotta be down. So the water work, Burlington Water Works is concerned, rightfully so, because they're running out of time. And right now, if you look at the hydrograph, there is, they don't even go out far enough to show the river being down really to anything normal. So we're just keeping an eye on all of that, because there are other factors in this, and we can't, we knew going into this, we can't We don't want to put Burlington or Waterworks in a bad place, and so they are looking at options. I do know that, the Burlington's consultant is. They do intend to reinforce that water line, but if for some reason the river stays up too high for an extended period of time, they're just trying to figure out whether we can in fact drive piling that close to that water line. So there's just a lot of stuff going on there. But yeah, I'll let you know. We'll have cake and punch when we get our core permit, I guess. I don't know. So, but other than that, a lot of soft gravel roads. I mean, it's just this isn't the way it's supposed to be at the latter part of May, but it is. So, you know, get calls, pass them on to us. You know, a lot of people frustrated, but it just is what it is right at the moment. There's not a good answer. Nobody likes it. We don't like it anymore than anybody else. But it's got to quit raining for longer than a day at some point. So.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Chris Lee, conservation.
Well, it's a wonderful year if you're a mushroom hunter.
Well, is it?
Oh, my God. So conservation, my office manager just this morning told me that we have 10 sites available between now and 4th of July.
Mushrooms?
Huh?
Mushrooms?
Yeah. No, in our campgrounds. I think we're at the tail end of mushroom season from what I'm seeing, but what a year it's been. So campground's been busy despite crappy weather. Memorial Day weekend coming up, so this is going to be busy. I'd be surprised if we don't fill Big Hollow by the end of today, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow, I think, is supposed to be the one day this week it's not supposed to rain. So I suspect we'll fill up all the rest of the walk-up sites tomorrow. We ended up closing Skunk River Campground again because the forecast, all this rain we got, the river's coming up again. With the big weekend coming up, what we didn't want to have happen is a bunch of people move in, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Thursday afternoon the river come flying up out of its banks because you only get a few hours notice as fast as that river can come up. We didn't think it was going to be feasible for us to run down there and get a bunch of campers hooked up and pulled out. And so we just closed the gate and it'll be what it'll be. Fort Pelican Station's fine. So folks want to camp and Big Hollow's full, they can head up there. Otherwise, tomorrow I'm meeting with a consultant to do some master planning, discussion about kind of the big long-term future of Big Hollow and our parks. Here in Des Moines County, I've started some strategic planning discussion with some of the staff. That will kind of take place throughout the year. Just trying to get we've got a 5-year plan in place, and we operate on that. But, you know, in government terms, 5 years is kind of just a blip. We're trying to look, you know, 10, 20, 30 years out. What are Des Moines County parks going to be, you know, when I hit retirement? And so just trying to get an idea of where we're headed and you know, what the big dream for what the parks can be in this county. So that's kind of a fun process. And so we're starting that, and that'll take place throughout this year, probably even some next year, where we get some master plans in place, certainly for Big Hollow, but then kind of get an idea of where we're headed to some of the other parks too. And that is hunkering down, getting ready for the busy weekend, hoping the weather's nice for us. I know we got a lot of folks looking forward to getting there.
Thanks, Chris. Mr. Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Good morning. Our new attorney is going to be starting on June 10th. His name is Ryan McCord, so we're getting very excited about that. We do have a brief respite from any heavy trial schedules for the next week or two. Thank goodness for a holiday. McCord's kind of ease up for a little bit. We also have a new victim services intern that began yesterday. She's a student at Iowa State in the criminal justice program. Her name's Melanie Brancini. She's going to be working on some of our annual report data collection and our warrant project, which is basically warrants from the beginning of time, it seems like, that are just still sitting out there. Chances are the defendant or suspect may be dead, the victim may be dead. We don't know. But that's what she's going to be finding out usually. I think when I was an intern, we did 1973 to 1978, and no one's touched it since then. We're going to bog her down in our old files and hopefully get some warrants cleaned up and get those taken care of. And Chris Scarborough, our misdemeanor attorney, is getting our deferred prosecution program for school bus violations up and running. We hope to be getting the first class, I believe, is next month. So we're staying busy, but getting some things done, it seems like, finally.
Thanks, Lisa. Colin Gerst, IT.
Keeping busy like always. Personally, been pretty busy here last week, finishing up our digital records conversion over from Paper Vision to Tyler Content Management. So a lot of the offices have been pretty patient with me getting that done. I appreciate it. Especially the treasurer's office kind of shook up how they do all their scanning in for digital records. So I've been pretty busy with that, but other than that, nothing really new to report, so.
Thanks, Colin. Ken Heinemann, Coordinator of Disability Services.
Yeah, we're working towards getting more children's providers to come to our change agent meetings and our other meetings, advisory board meetings. Now that the state is wanting us to do children's services, the regions to do children's services, we want to gather more people in to our meetings and try and get them involved in the discussions. The other thing is, of course, it's still contracting time, so I've got another meeting scheduled with like Great River Medical Center to finish their contract. We had their initial meeting in March, but then we've still got to finalize what their services are going to look like after July 1 for any changes. So we're going to have another meeting on Thursday about that. So that's about it. We've got most of the contracts completed, but there's a few stragglers we're still working on. So
still no funding for the child services, is there?
Right. No. No funding appropriation at this point. Yeah. So, you know, it's for the group of services that have serious emotional disorder. So SED, they call it. So that's what we'll be focusing on, but we've got to have funding for it. But at this point, we're just trying to get people to the table to start conversations. So.
We need to be calling our representatives and our senators and get some of this done. I can't believe that they throw that down on us. No funding. It's been that way for years.
Yeah. Legislation's passed that we have to do something, but yeah, we need some money.
Yep. Thanks,
Jim. Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. I don't really have a whole lot new to report. We did get our active killer training done with all of our groups, or with all of my groups. I got a couple more this week. The courthouse, we had a great turnout for everyone to come and go through that. So just getting prepared for the June 11th exercise that we'll be doing. And that's about all I got.
Thanks, Angie. Mike Johnstone, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Morning, Tom. Just a couple of reminders to everyone. The river's back on the rise. Levees are soft. People should stay off the levees. Also, of course, county engineer will be barricading some of these roads again. We have had a couple situations where people have went.
Let there be light.
Around these barricades, across roads that are water covered, which is extremely dangerous. We are watching that very carefully, and we have issued citations for those that decide to go around them. So. Do not go around barricaded roads. Extremely dangerous, especially now as long as we've had this water. It's raining, everything is getting softer, it's saturated, and there's no change in, in the future. It looks like we're gonna be dealing with this for a while. I mean, it's still gonna be a major flood, clear to the end of the month. So we're gonna be running into June, which is, again, a lot of rain and stuff. So we've gotten to a point where I think that we just begin to accept this and don't take it, we kind of begin to take it for granted, but it's a very dangerous situation on the river and in the bottoms, and the levees, again, are saturated, so be careful out there.
And I know we talked about it when we passed that ordinance. Has there been any problems with the ATVs, UTVs on the levees?
No, not really. None reported. That has went really well. There are few. Again, a few cases where we've had some calls on folks, but for the most part, not really. Not any more than we normally have, and I think overall it's went really well. I have to say it's went really well. We've had a few unlicensed ATVs we've seen, those kind of things. And again, it's about, you know, educating people, reminding them what the rules are. But we've had a lot of compliance. And again, there are a few that get off on some roads they're not supposed to. We've had that problem in the past, but, you know, we keep an eye on that stuff too. So overall, it's worked out real well.
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. I didn't miss anybody, did I? Okay. Correspondence. No correspondence, I had none. Other than I got, you guys might have seen that there was a, submit a comment or a question to somebody on the website. Somebody from with the Yemen said that the United States was using mind control on them. She wanted the Board of Supervisors to do something about it.
What'd you do?
Did you hurt that person again?
I'm still thinking about it. We'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $590,174.74.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have payroll claims reimbursements in the amount of $708.41, and non-cash taxable reimbursements in the amount of $45 even.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a resolution, the final plat for the first edition, the Flint Bottom Raceway subdivision.
All right, so we have a 2-lot minor subdivision located in Flint River Township, off of Flint Bottom Road, just to the north of the Flint Bottom Gear Avenue intersection. So this property actually involves land that was part of a previous subdivision in 2003, no surprise, called the Flint Bottom Raceway subdivision. So naturally splitting it up further means it's the first edition. So it's basically taking what was initially lot 2 from that 2003 subdivision and splitting off two additional pieces from that to form lots 1 and 2 of the first edition. So the property here, as you might would suggest from the name, was originally the location of the Flint Bottom Raceway, which was a motorcycle and go-kart racetrack operational back in the 90s through the early 2000s. So that has been ceased operations for many years now. The land is currently undeveloped, and the owner is interested in splitting those two lots off to sell, presumably for residential single-family development. So the lots are each slightly over 2 acres in size. They stretch pretty far east to west, although they do meet the minimum width requirement of 120 feet. They're each slightly over that in terms of width north to south. So in terms of comments received, we did get a comment from the one of the township trustees who lives in the area and noticed that there were some black plastic barrels that had been lying in a pile on the north end of the property, and was just concerned about what could potentially be the issue there, if those were contaminated, and how those, what the issue would be in terms of how those get disposed of once the land transfer occurs. We did speak with the subdivider after that, and he informed us that those are actually used for they were previously used as like a safety barrier on the edge of the racetrack, so that they were empty, and this he intends to dispose of those. But as we had learned, then it's unlike the previous thought that it may have something to do with having oil or chemicals disposed of. That issue is no longer relevant in that case. We got a comment from the county engineer with regards to the access for the two lots, stating that lots 1 and 2 would need to have a shared access off of Flint Bottom Road. That's actually accommodated on the plat itself. They had worked with the county engineer's office already and coordinating that, so it shows a 36-foot easement straddling the line between lots 1 and 2. However, just as a precaution, based on the fact that was included, submitted as a comment, we have added a condition to the resolution stating that lots 1 and 2 shall share a driveway entrance from Flint Bottom Road. The subdivision also lies within the 2-mile review jurisdiction of the city of West Burlington. The city council voted to approve that at their meeting last Wednesday evening, so we have the resolution here from the city of West Burlington, and the plats also include their stamp and signature as well. Finally, this is proposed for residential. It does border agriculture property to the north and west, so we do have the fence waiver signed off on for the two owners of those properties to the north and west. So that takes care of that requirement. And with that in mind, we would recommend approval of this first addition to Flint Bottom Raceway with the added condition about the road access.
Move to approve.
What happens if we go ahead and approve this? He does move them barrels if this gentleman wants. Does them have to be moved before this is approved, or?
There's no local requirement for that. We also checked in with the DNR on that, and if just the way they're sitting there right now, even if they were filled with oil or other chemicals, that's not an issue. Just the way they're sitting there right now, the only issue, it would come up on their radar if they were improperly disposed of somehow. So that's until something like that happens, that's not an issue that directly concerns them.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Thank you. You picked these up a little later this morning?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, we'll sign them after them. We have a resolution amending the DESCOM 2080 agreement, whereas the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors approved the DESCOM 2080 agreement on April 23rd, 2019 for the duration of 5 years, terminating on June 30th, 2024, whereas an amendment to the DESCOM agreement changes the duration to 2 years, therefore terminating on June 30th, 2021. Now, therefore, be it resolved that by the Board of Supervisors in Des Moines County, Iowa, to amend the agreement to 2 years before terminating on June 30th, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Personnel actions, and one personnel action for the Correctional Center. We have a resignation of James Murray, part-time transport officer.
Second.
There's May 13th. Did you second, Bob?
Yes.
Terry?
Carrie?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have two personnel actions for the county attorney. We have Todd Shelf, senior assistant. Step increase as senior assistant. $70,000. And we have a step increase for Aaron Stensbank,
Stensbog,
assistant county attorney. Step increase as assistant county attorney from $56,237.50 to $60,000.30.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have a personnel action for the Treasurer's Department, Ashley Sherwood, Clerk 2 in the Motor Vehicle Department, partial day without pay. 4 hours, 4.38 hours on May 13th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have the Clerk of Courts report of fees collected for April 2019. This report will be on file in the Auditor's Office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of May 14th, 2019, something like that.
Sure you got that right.
May 14th, 2019. I had the day and the year mixed up. That happened.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Abstain.
Any other business? Future agenda items. Other than I think we've got a RAGBRAI ordinance coming up in the near future.
Yeah, get that taken care of soon.
Yeah.
That means everything will run through here smoothly, right?
I'm confident. Committee reports.
I need to say I went last week to Highway 61 Coalition meeting, talked about 61. I went to DOT meeting, talked about 61, talked about it. Sounds like our project's going to get completed, and they've got a few glitches along the way that they have to clean up, and they will, I assume. We also mentioned a little piece down in Keokuk that runs from the highway that's existing to the Missouri line and go across. There's been some nasty wrecks involved in down there, and we'd like to see him at least put a Super 2 in and get turning lanes and so forth.
What's a Super 2?
Highway 34, if you go out west, they're going up hills, they have a slow lane for trucks.
Okay.
But mainly it's a two-lane road, but easier to drive on.
I never heard
traffic that. Moves a little better.
Never heard that term before.
I have one other comment related to Super 2s. It could be a number of components. One of those is the frequent occurrence of passing lanes. Another one is intersections having turn lanes for each direction so that there's always a lane for through traffic so that if vehicles are turning, it reduces the conflict when straight through traffic is conflicting with that. So it's basically a combination of things to try to make the traffic flow more smoothly on a two lane when you don't have the means to accommodate a four lane expansion at the time. So.
And we also thank David Rose, Commissioner, is second to last meeting. He was going to retire after next meeting or not get replaced. He's given us a lot of work and been to a lot of our meetings. One thing is he lives in Clinton, so he uses 61 to go to Ozarks. but his concern is these outlying areas. But he said the majority of the people that are on that commission live within 45 minutes or something like that of Des Moines. They're not, you know, you can't have a great state without all the corners being covered. So, and David was a big proponent of that. So we have people here that we would like to see appointed, and we will push on that. One of them being Dwight Mulch. He was on the airport board, didn't get replaced because of gender balance. And he's an excellent fella. I don't know what they, who replaced him, but I'm sure she's fine, but.
He's from this end of the state.
Yeah. A corner.
Corner.
That's not on the main interstate system. That's where they seem to get them all.
Jeremy, got a question for you. You talked about that Super Two, and he mentioned the Ozarks down there.
Right.
Goes from the Ozarks down to 44. They've got the two-lane road, but 2 miles of it, 3 miles might be on the right lane. You've got, it's three-lane road, really.
Yeah.
So you got two lanes, and then people you're meeting only got one. And pretty soon it says, you know, lane ends, then 2 mile, or however how often. Then you got two lanes going north and one lane going south. What do they call that kind of road?
Well, it's really flexible. It depends on the situation, how they design it. So it's a lot of times you really are talking about three lanes in certain areas. So it really depends on the situation. It fits a number of situations like that. So it's not an exact science by any means.
I did get a book for all the improvements. We're in a 30-day public hearing or public comment period for what they're going to pass as a 5-year plan next month. Need to say I forgot to bring along. But it's got us, I think it's got 61 in there speeding it up. So.
Any pictures?
There's on the cover.
Shut that door.
That's me.
Committee report?
No.
I attended a meeting of the Mental Health and Disability Services Commission. We had our annual review of the commission's duty and went through committee assignments. So that's all I have. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, please rise, give us your name and address for the record. If you would like to step up to the lectern, you can, but it's not required, and please limit your comments to 2 minutes if you could.
Jeff Bernhardt. Live on Highway 99 here in Burlington. Lived out there close to 14 years. I've got a property right behind me. Used to be Dunn's Bait Shop. I purchased that over 10 years ago. And I noticed here in the last, since all the rain that we've been having, that I got reassessed on my house, and I've got the runoff from Sylvan Heights up above me. I've been living Sylvan Heights 2, which is at the bottom. So all the runoff from Sylvan Heights is coming down, hitting Steffensmeyer's residence, and then it's draining down towards my house, and it's flooding. I had it reassessed. It went for $24,000 for runoff that I get from up above. My question is, I've talked with a couple guys out here before. They told me I'd go ahead and fill it in, block it off, so the water don't come down onto my property and I have a pond every time it rains. It's been a real issue with flooding. I've lost quite a bit of carpet and apartment I own down there because of the flooding. And no flood insurance will cover it because it's just the way it is. So my question is, when I go back in there and fill all this dirt in, because I'm going to subdivide it eventually and put a house there, the water's going to head straight to Highway 99. There's no culverts there. Every time I talk to somebody, they say it's private. So my question is, if it's all private, once I put in my culvert at the driveway, build my road up, build the hillside up, everybody down below is going to be flooded.
That's going to be straight Highway 99.
Water runs downhill, so I mean it's very complicated, and it's getting kind of old because every time I go in there and try to fix my property up after I'm off work now, I'm home, I'm able to do things. I turn around and look at it, and then when they reassess my house, just that land for $24,000, I should be charging the city or the state or whoever for dumping their water on my property. My thing is, if I go back and fill this in, it's all private. The next problem we're gonna have is the flooding down below. and it hooks up with 94th Avenue, which I went to the city, I went to the county. The city tells me the county's most maintained highway for 94th Avenue, and I was under the impression that they're not responsible for 94th Avenue at all.
Mr. Bernard, have you spoken to Brian Carter?
Yes, I have, and that's kind of where we're at, and we've got some culvert issues. We went in there and put some road millings down. I got over $1,200 worth of road millings down going up to here, and it's washing out again. So, I mean, I think this is something to do with when they design the area, that they're more responsible to find out where this water's going to flow, and it's up to them to kind of get it to flow the way it should flow. And it should go to 99 and hit the culverts and head north and south.
You said when they designed it, who designed it?
It would have been the Dunn, John Dunn, back in the 70s, I believe. That's when they took all the fill out from the bait shop, and they put it behind Tama Road, back in behind Case Company. And they kind of made a dam levee out of it.
And this is all private property?
Yes.
And you bought it that way?
Yes, I did. But if I would have bought it and I know it was like that, I mean, far as Sylvan Heights draining down to my property, just here no more than, we just got the road done last year, I believe it was. They brought a skid loader in from up above. They took a skid loader and took out probably about 24 foot, 8 inches deep. So now all that water is more running towards my property.
When did they do that?
Just last year. And now I'm getting a pond more so than I used to get. I mean, it's a major, and they always told me that you can put dirt in, but you can't take it out. So it ain't up to me to hire an attorney to go back and find out why they removed the dirt. And I can tell you why they removed the dirt, so the water don't flow to the east towards 99. It flows to my property, and they told me that's the way it was designed. And now that I'm getting raw sewage from septic tanks at Sylvan Heights, I've got a trailer down there, I've got an apartment, I've got a house. And as far as I'm concerned, that water's contaminated, I'm sure.
Was that part of the problem caused after they moved the soil a year ago?
Yes, it was, a good share of it. I'd say about 80% of it was the cause.
I'm not an attorney, but I don't think you're supposed to divert water flow from your private property to somebody else's private property. That's not much the county can do about that. At least not that I'm aware of. That's a
legal issue.
It's all private property. It would be between you and the people that moved that dirt. Would be my initial assumption. Would that be? Fair, Brian, you're...
Yeah, Mr. Bernhardt and I have talked a couple times over the last couple years, and then I think even before that, I had somebody else out in this area frustrated with some drainage issues. And I can't remember that. That's been long enough. It's kind of one of those things where Sylvan Heights is at the top of the bluff, and then these folks are at the bottom of the bluff, and somewhere water runs naturally, but you're correct. If you go and it doesn't even have to divert. You can, if you modify or anything and cause additional issues for somebody else relating to water, there certainly can be civil issues. With Des Moines County not being zoned and with this being off on private property, we've talked, I know he's frustrated, and we did talk about some solutions, possible solutions and stuff, but unfortunately, you know, 94th is a subdivision road. He's right. Highway 99 is not. It's right. A county road.
94th is a private road.
Yes, it is. Okay. It's a private subdivision road. Okay.
Then who maintains it? I mean, if we don't own it and you don't own it, I was told that they can sign it over to us. And that doesn't really make any sense, because if it's not...
Well, I mean, if it's done correctly, really, there should be a homeowners association. But unfortunately, a lot of those weren't done that way,
right.
And so it really becomes a messy easement situation to a certain extent. I mean, ultimately, everybody that uses it should assist in taking care of it,
right.
Just an opinion. That's not a, you know, so if there's not a homeowner association set up, then it becomes Well, it can run smoother, it can become a he said, she said, you know, mess, which it sounds like it kind of is.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
From talking to you. So that, when those private accesses that to, that ultimately lead to all these different houses don't get laid out properly initially, someday all of a sudden people don't get along and then you've got a situation that's a headache and often leads to letters from lawyers and stuff like that. And
like I was just kind of wondering about the culvert situation. Is that anything that goes in Des Moines County for each resident?
Well, you're talking about like the driveway culverts that we talked about.
Right, right.
It's the same thing. Once you pull off of that county right away, the county doesn't have any say. I mean, there's an initial layout through if there was a subdivision process back then, but even there that wasn't. That doesn't get into what are they going to put in for culverts and stuff like that. It's not that invasive of a zoning procedure. I mean, if you were in town, my guess is every one of those things is probably in some way regulated, I guess. But once you get out there, like you and I were talking, like there's some culverts that were buried, it sounds like, and that's causing problems with water and stuff like that. And
no drainage.
And those things happen. I mean, that's one of the reasons that my office has job security, because if you look at all the culverts that we involve with, they silt in, they fail, they do all that. None of that stuff is perfect for the rest of its life. And so what you're describing is very similar to what we deal with on a daily basis, things that just need to be maintained properly for everything to work right. It doesn't sound like that's been done.
No. And then also the runoff up above, we have everybody that's run their gutters underneath the ground that drains right down to the property. And I thought the city of Burlington at one time had that against the law where you couldn't run your gutters towards the street. And now we got it up above where everybody's up there running all their water from their gutters straight down. And I mean, we're just getting massive of rain. And since we've been raining so much, I mean, it's just.
Yeah, I mean,
I've got a pond when they tax me $24,000 on everybody's runoff and I can't even use my land. I mean, I just don't quite understand how they can.
I have a relationship with a contractor, drainage contractor, and he will go when he's hooking up tile from the top. He will go around to the neighbors and try to get them to come along with him and do what he sees need, so that they won't have to handle that water. And if they don't do it, he'll probably dump the water at the end of the property line and let it go like nature said to go downhill. And so I would imagine the way back when they didn't do that, but if you went up on the hill and put in drainage, it's probably your best bet. I don't think you're gonna have too much room to stand on the bottom side of the hill.
Right, yeah, not much to work with. It's pretty steep, like I said.
It sounds like your problem.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, that would be the solution for us, but it's, I've seen it in farm ground, and one farmer over another, and one farmer went up there and dammed it up, saying that it was our job to handle that water that run down the road. I don't think the law allows you to change the course of that water without agreements. Am I right or wrong, Brian?
Well, actually, you and I talked about this, too, a little bit, because there were kind of two different locations we talked about in that same area. And you're right. I mean, the people up top don't have the right to intentionally force more water or water that should go elsewhere your direction. No different than you don't have the right to kick water somewhere that it doesn't belong.
Sure.
I mean, now, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. But what happens when that occurs is that typically lawyers get involved because somebody's not happy. And again, there's only typically one group that makes money in that.
That's
hole.
The lawyer. That's why I'm kind of coming to Des Moines County, because if it's kind of a code everybody should follow, it's kind of like a code that everybody should.
There's only one lawyer in the room and her face just lit up.
Yeah. Everybody needs money, right?
I get paid the same otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why you're here because we've talked.
Right.
But you know, to be able, any regulation beyond county right-of-way, because because all secondary roads and county engineer have to deal with is county right of way, would get into zoning or whatever it is, and that's pretty minimal in Des Moines County. In fact, once you get beyond 2 miles, it doesn't exist as far as zoning goes, so.
Yeah, we're in the 2 mile zone here, so I mean, that's what I don't understand. We're in the city, but we're in Burlington County, so I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the 2 mile zone outside of the city, so you're still governed by whatever there is, and I think you have talked to regional planning, if I remember right, and I'm not sure if there's any language in the zoning. You said you had talked to them and there wasn't any language that could directly help you, I assume.
A big part of the issue is just the fact that it predates, the subdivision was laid out, the roads and the arrangement for the how that those are maintained, that was all laid out before there was a zoning ordinance, before there was a subdivision ordinance, so we're dealing with a situation that fortunately kind of proves why it's important to have these regulations so that the responsibilities are clear down the line, because if this were proposed new today, I guarantee you all these issues would come up in our conversations with different departments as we review the subdivision. So it's just, unfortunately, it's a consequence of dealing with something that was done before we had those regulations in place. And like I said, if the only thing we would address now is if you're going to go and re-subdivide the land from what was originally platted years ago, or if you were going to go in and from the zoning side, if you're going to go in and build a new house or a new garage, we would obviously be guiding that process for permitting there. But when we're dealing with infrastructure that's been there that predates all of that, that's unfortunately nothing. It doesn't fall under the purview of our regulations since it predates all of that.
So basically, I mean, out in that area, we don't have to follow the culvert code. I mean, if somebody's culvert goes bad, they don't replace it. I mean, like mine, say for instance, mine goes bad. I've got the neighbor that built 6 garages on his house, on his residence.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting all his runoff that drives down his driveway, which he poured concrete. And this has been another issue. I've got pictures of it. But about 6 garages on the lot, 2 lots, and all the water runs down the driveway, runs into the gutter or whatever, the trench, runs directly to my property, it crosses into my culvert, and it drains right to my septic outlet.
And is that a normal flow? Would it normally run that?
Normally, it's supposed to, but after he ended up running all of his gutters towards the concrete hits it, it goes right towards the trench line, then it drains to my house, and now every time it rains, my outlet where my leach field is, it has a small 6-inch tube, drains back into a small hole, and that is totally full. I mean, every time, it never fails. I mean, and then basically I can take a pump and pump it out, let it dry out. You know, I've been digging it out with backhoe and stuff at times, but.
I don't want to advise anybody to build a diversion that will back up water, but I don't know where the law is, but there are people that do know, and they better seek one of those.
And that's an attorney again.
Well, maybe you're a contractor, a drainage contractor.
Yeah, because see, I mean, this is I'm getting 2 properties now that's getting flooded because all this rain, because, you know, I mean, the city come in and told this guy he'd build another garage, so he builds another garage. I mean, the city ought to find out where this water's going to go, or the county, whoever gave him license
That you're speaking about the property with the garage. All that was relevant in terms of the construction of that is really that it meets the setback requirements and there, that lot, again, it's the lots in this area are below the minimum lot size or if the subdivision were designed new. So unfortunately, we're dealing with something that was approved many years ago before there was an ordinance to govern that. And really all we go off of now is regulations with regards to where the garage sits on the lot. There really isn't anything that pertains to how it affects something like that as a result of the way it was designed years ago. So as far as our ordinance goes, that garage met our requirements. So it's the nature of the amount of requirements we have and how they relate to something that was already in place when the ordinance was established.
Yeah, the only problem.
If somebody's going to overbuild their property now, regardless of when they put the subdivision,
right,
we should have some sort of an ordinance that.
We don't have a minimum. There's no lot coverage requirements for that's that's sometimes a way of addressing that, but our ordinance doesn't have a lot.
When you guys were redoing our regulations, you were looking through there.
Right.
And you made recommendations to some of that.
I mean, that could definitely be a potential thing to address. I mean, we have it on our application form. There are several things on there, like lot coverage, that the ordinance doesn't actually regulate it. It's just part of the form, so we really have no way to enforce it. So maybe that's a clue right there that we should look at having a threshold there that you can't build over that percentage of the lot area. But as of now, we don't have anything in there to address that.
Quite possibly we should be looking at that.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to have a bigger mess than what he's already got.
The biggest thing I have now, since he's poured concrete there, all the gutters off six garages hit the driveway and drains right out to the towards his culvert and the trench and whatever, drains around towards my property. And I mean, I'm looking at like 6 inches of water. I ain't talking 2 inches. It's six inches of water. I mean, from six garages.
It looks like we have county roads that do that.
Yeah.
And we get quite disturbed when that happens.
Yeah,
at least the engineer does.
They're not small, so I mean, it's a lot of water I'm getting, and it's just soaking my leach field and my property. It's like I always thought, you know, with the city of Burlington, they had them cut off where they couldn't drain their water towards their street, and this is basically the same thing. They're draining all the water towards my property. And then I've got to get rid of it somehow. And it's like if everybody else can do away with the culvert, then basically I can just let mine fill up, sealed in, and build a wall. You know, I'm to that point anymore. I mean, I got retaxed and reassessed down here and where they're putting me in. I'm just kind of feel like I bought swampland, you know, down in Florida somewhere, and it's not what I wanted. I looked at it for my retirement. As I get older, I kind of like to enjoy it, but now I look at it, and it's kind of a waste of my should be dozed in.
Is your leach field still working?
Yes.
Oh, that's a plus.
Yeah, I just had it inspected 3 years ago, and it passed, and I'm wanting to sell it, basically, but they're telling me it assessed for more way than what it should be assessed for, because I tried selling it for $10,000 less, and nobody wants it because it's basically, you know, down in the bottom, so off 99. So I mean that's been a real issue. They come out and tell me how much my property's worth, and they gave one up $900 on a piece of ground that's not even an eighth of an acre. I mean, whoever came in and reassessed all this, I mean, I know City of Burlington or whoever might need some money, but I mean, to me, it's like it's more worth to me to tear it down and just leave it as a leach field or something.
That wasn't reassessed. That was an equalization order.
Well, it was something, I can tell you. It wasn't equal for us. It was somebody's got
you. Did you go up to the assessor?
Yes, I did.
Any good?
I haven't heard anything back yet, I don't believe. So, you know, I'm to the part now where it's about ready to go on auction. I'm ready to get rid of it because, you know, it's like, why deal with something if it's, you know, I'm trying to enjoy my life, but every time I turn around, I've got water.
I can see you have a problem. You have a real problem, and I don't know where in the world it's going to go.
It's like if nobody wants to comply with the culverts in my area, it's like, why should I have to comply with the culvert?
I hear you.
Issue, but if it's, you know, if it's a law where you should have it flowing, but then again at the same time when it does, it's making me where I, you know, have to pump the water out down below because I don't want my septic tanks to fill up and cause an issue.
Well, the guy downhill's got a problem. There's no question.
That's me. And I own two properties downhill, and it's come to be the point where
I've seen it in farm ground where there's lots and lots of acres up here, and it runs across county road, and the guy just started plowing, put a berm up. And so the water had all run down through the ditch. Well, it didn't work. He just built a pond out in this other guy's field. Well, he didn't like it. And the guy didn't want all that water run down. That's not my water, it's your water. Well, it ends up it's everybody's water when it's running downhill.
Right.
And if you watch the Highway Commission build a road, they will follow that channel. I've been there and I've said, why don't you just run that? It's right down here. That wouldn't cost anything. Put a ditch in here. He says, well, that guy over there may want water sometime. We can't change direction.
Right.
And correct me if I'm wrong. But
yeah, you water is supposed to flow where it naturally flows. I mean, that's the intention. So
So my question is, if I go ahead and dam that area up, as we was talking about out there, and make it where it's gonna have to be a subdivision anyhow someday.
I would strongly suggest you find somebody more professional than what you're talking to right now before somebody knows how to take care of your problem. And I'm not sure that this is the right spot. And I don't know where, Brian, you know any place to send him, or Jared?
Well, I mean, like I said, we talked at length, and you're kind of at the bottom end of two different situations, and that's not where anybody wants to be.
Right.
I think what I told you is be careful before you start damming water up.
Right.
I mean, that's right. That I think was how we kind of I left our conversation.
Well, see, and I was told that this is supposed to be the natural flow to all the water from Sylvan Heights, and from the guy up above me is all the water supposed to flow to my property. And when I look at it, if you look at it, if anything comes off the Sylvan Heights, it should come down, hit some culverts, it should go on each side of the road, and it should go straight out to Highway 99 and go north and south.
Yep.
Is the way it should flow. I mean, it shouldn't flow to my property, it shouldn't flow to anybody's property, it should flow right straight down from Sylvan. Should be a culvert down in there, and it should flow right straight through. And I guess that would be up to the people down at the bottom and maybe up above of Sylvan Heights to kind of get together to...
Well, I mean, the ideal thing in any situation like this is if the neighbors can get together and resolve it amicably and take care of it. That's always the best case. Always. I've said that to a lot of people over the years.
That's not going to happen. It holds true. They don't want water going their way.
Well, I know, but they've I'm just saying it's already. Always the best case scenario.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. The only other thing I had is I was coming out 99 here a while back when they did some road patching. And I was going into town, and I hit a pile of tar, which they were fixing the road, which I'm grateful for the road fixing, they need it. We had a pile of tar, it was probably about 6 inches high. I've got pictures of it on my phone if anybody'd like to see it. I got in town, we stopped at Nate, we got back in the car, I started taking off, I heard something rubbing. Part of the tar got caught in my brake cylinder. So eventually I had to tap my brakes a couple times and turn it a couple times and kind of hoping no one seen me, you know, being wild, but it eventually fell out after it got warm. My thing is when they patch any roads up on the highways or anything, if it'd be possible if they could tamp it down. I learned that from Dale Broker, a street worker out in West Burlington years ago. Throw the tar in there, take a small piece of steel with a handle on it, tamp it down a little bit, have a guy come behind you. Sprinkle a little sand on it. That way when the guy comes in the vehicle next car, he's not picking the tar up and spreading it right back out of the hole. It helps it stay in, you know, where it's not gonna be tracking to your tire and wasting the guy's time by throwing it out on the highway or wherever he's patching to keep her in there a little bit more solid so we had something. But I noticed 99 is really getting bad down through the seam due to the water. The only thing else I had is I noticed Golf Course Road is really getting bad, so whenever they shut down 99 eventually, whenever they decide to, you might want to hit those cracks with some tar. Because as you drive down, you see these heavy trucks hitting it, and water's just squirting out.
Yeah, that's in his plan. He knows that's going to take a beat.
Yeah, I just thought I'd mention that. So, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Bernhardt. Good luck. Any other public comment? With an eye, we are adjourned and we have a work session, personnel closed session, Iowa Code 21-5-1, subparagraph I. We are adjourned.